Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
I want to say thank you to Pastor Hal and the opportunity to be with you and preach this morning. Never take it lightly. It's always a blessing, and I praise God for what he's doing in East Haven, around the county. Praise God for our staff. What a blessing they are. I tell you, recognize them with a hand of praise to the Lord this morning. Will you do that? The guys on the platform, the ladies, the folks in the back, just up on in the upstairs booth, all of that. Sometimes we forget about that. Tell them how much you appreciate them and all that they do, because it's so important. And we do serve a unchanging God, an unstoppable, unshakable God. And God has allowed us to worship this morning, and I pray that you've come ready, that you're prepared this morning as I speak to you on the subject, living right side up in an upside down world. We don't have to look very far to really see the world in its upside down condition. I noticed this week as I was riding through town, just looking at different things and going on, and I won't go into any details, but I began my mind began to rewind back in early childhood and then growing up and the different things that has changed throughout the years. And the upside downness that you and I are facing and that we're seeing, things that we thought would never come and to our area and to our state and to the nation to which we serve. And to which we live. This weekend, as we celebrate the holiday of Memorial Day, I hope that you will take time to think about those who have given their lives so that you and I can enjoy the freedoms that are so endangered today. The men and women who have died and given their life as we celebrate Memorial Day in the way that it is. Don't take it for granted. And the fact is that life in its daily circumstances sometimes causes us just to say, God, I don't understand. God, I don't get it. God, this is not your plan. And you and I need to realize and look at the Word of God. I have this conversation quite often with folks in talking about where we are in this world in which we live. And the fact that we're headed to end times. And you hear more and more people say, boy, I just think we're right here at the end times. We see different actions. We see different things going on and all of that coming to fruition. And sometimes we just get back and say, I don't understand. Well, this morning, I want you to understand some things. God has a plan, and you and I need to get on the plan. That's how you and I begin to process each and every day. And I know people read self-help books, and I know that we look on the internet, and we need to be reading. People read success stories and all of those kinds of things and different things that's going on. But when it comes back to the ultimate example for you and I, we need to look at the Word of God. And there's some things that you and I need to be reminded of. And the fact that the Bible will give us the truth that we're looking for if we'll just take the time to get into it. If we'll just take the time to dig into it and really look and say, God, show me. God, help me to see what I need to see in the midst of where I am in my everyday life. So you think about the Word of God, and you think about 2 Timothy in that, and Timothy writes, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That we dig into the Word of God. Psalms talks about that it's a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. It has to be used. You and I need to dig into that and look at it. So as we look in the Old Testament this morning, there's some that say, we don't really need the Old Testament. Fact is, we do. God gave us Genesis to Revelation. And you know, as Southern Baptists, we're people of the book. We're known as people of the book. And we look in there and we dig and we look and we look at the applications from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we see some things that God really wants to show us. Reading through the Bible, finished the New Testament, and 1 Samuel now coming through. And recently read through Deuteronomy. And God just began to deal with me. Even weeks ago when Pastor called me about today. Begin to deal with me. You know, Moses had gotten the Ten Commandments and was on the mountain a little long, and he came down, and there was the people with the golden calf, And I mean, he slammed the tablets down, broke them. I mean, in just disarray. And everything that happened, you know, so many times we're guilty of getting impatient with God, getting impatient with the leadership of God, getting impatient with the ways that God wants to do in our life, the things that God wants to do in our life. God called Moses back to the mountain and he said, bring those tablets, chisel out some more, and I want to rewrite them. And so he did. And so I want us to pick up there this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want you to just follow along with me. And when we begin reading right here in verse 12, it says, and now, O Israel. I want you to think this morning, if you would allow me this moment, put your name in the place of Israel. Put the United States in the place of Israel. And think about what God says this morning as we look at verse 12 and following of Deuteronomy chapter 10. It says, and now, O Israel, there you go, insert your word, your name or the United States. What does the Lord ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Verse 14, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, everything around us, even the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts. Clean up your act would be a way we could put it today. Therefore, do not be stiff-necked any longer. Do not be hard. Do not be rigid on serving the Lord. Verse 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. My notes ended there, but I want to take just a little bit further. Look at verse 19. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt, God says through Moses. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Let's join together. Father, in the midst of this moment, God, give us the vision. God, give us the hope of our salvation. May we desire that hope. May we, God, in turn, God, just allow you to use us. I pray this morning, God, for individuals listening or in the building today, just looking for direction, looking for hope. God, that we find that, that they find that this morning. God, have your way in this building this morning. Lord, as we learn to live right side up in an upside down world. God help us today, I pray in Christ's name, amen. So we think about the word of God. Think about where you are this morning. Think about the fact, as we talked about the word of God being a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Think about Hebrews 4:12 when it says the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It's living, it's active, it's not dead. When we talk about Genesis to Revelation, it is the living word of God. And you and I can take it and we can apply it and look at what God really wants to do in our life. And sometimes we don't like what it says. That same verse in Hebrews says that, you know, it divides the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It judges our thoughts and our attitudes. But you and I read the word of God and we look for direction and we look for wisdom. And we gain that wisdom as we seek it, as we look at what God really wants. When you look at those Ten Commandments, some people debate about that, and you see them posted around our county and other counties, and you begin to analyze them. I don't have time to go there this morning. Those first three have to do with God and our place with God, and then those next seven having to do with our own attitude. They have an attitude how you and I ought to live. It would pay us to go and look at it and really take a look at it. So this morning, what am I supposed to do? What, according to the word of God this morning, Brother Dave, what does it say for me? And the first thing that I want you to understand, and you can follow along in your outline this morning, is to fear God. According to what God gave Moses and Moses gave the people there, he said, what does the Lord God ask of you? Followers of God, me, you, what does he ask of us? And it's to fear God. Now, does that mean that you and I have to be totally afraid of God and go and hide in the corner? No, that's not what it means. But it means that you and I are to reverence God, that we're to respect him, to which we've lost in many aspects of that word, that we're to stand in awe of the presence of God, that we're to realize who God is and what he wants. Shane Pruitt, some of our younger folks will recognize that name. I noticed a post he made this week. And Shane said this, and here's where many people, I believe, live in today's world as I see other churches, as I visit around and just see things that are going on. Shane Pruitt says this, a Christianity that gets you into heaven while also allowing you to continue living however you want here on earth is a Christianity that's foreign to the New Testament. Think about that now. A Christianity that will get you into heaven, that allows you to just continue life as you know it, which is what many folks teach and preach. That Christianity to let you live here on earth as you want to is foreign to the New Testament. Why? Because the Word of God, the gospel changes, listen, who you are, and it changes everything about us. It changes everything about what we do. It changes how we think. All of that comes into play. And you and I, when we think about the Word of God, God calls us. When Robert called me yesterday, he said, if you would, I'd like for you to lead that prayer and focus on community outreach. And the fact of what needs to happen in our own life and the fact that you and I are called to be involved in the Word of God. Now, here's the issue. Many of those who call themselves followers of Christ never get involved in the work of God in any capacity. Any capacity. You don't find that. Listen, folks, you don't find that in the Word of God. God calls you and I to go to work. We don't work for our salvation, but we work because of our salvation. And what I'm afraid of is that many of us, yeah, we may slide into heaven by the hair of our chinny chin chin, but how many of us want to stand before God with nothing to lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ who paid all for us? And so Moses is telling the people, he says, look, fear the Lord thy God. Look who he is. Don't take the attitude of let someone else do it. One of the things coming out of COVID and people, I don't even hardly mention COVID anymore, but one of the things that comes out of that is complacency, apathy. The attitude that we've had many times is, somebody else will do it. If I don't do it, somebody else will do it. Listen, God doesn't have a plan B. God called you and I. Community outreach? Yes. Working inside our state? Yes. Working as churches together and people together? Yes. Going across the world into nations? Yes. Being who God's called us to be is his hands and his feet, that we fear God, that we recognize who God is. But here's the thing. Why don't we fear God? Because many of us have the idea, and we've taught it to our younger generations, that God's like a big man upstairs. He's the grandfather. In my case, Papa. And you can just crawl up in his lap, and everything's going to be all right. That's not what the Word of God tells us. He's not the grandfather figure. God is a God of love. God is a God who cares. God is a God who energizes us. He's unshakable. He's unstoppable. All of that. We just sang about it. But he chooses to use you and I. And he does not want us to live life in a complacent manner, in an apathetic manner, because he calls us. And if we're part of the gospel has changed us. And we need to allow God to really be God in our own personal lives. And so when Moses is telling the folks to fear God, he's saying, look, recognize God for who he is. Respecting, honoring. Sometimes I think we forget how much God has done for us. I've had numerous texts, and even my son Kyle's here this morning, three of his children. But when he came up Friday, he said, Dad, the cross was, I could see it for miles. It was lit up. And we know testimony after testimony. I won't forget. I probably, it's etched in my mind. I've talked to several of you about it. Many of you saw it, about the lady who took a picture of her husband and her, I believe a little boy, walking up to the cross. And in that post, if I remember right, she said, we don't go to church anywhere, but we saw the cross. And she, in her essence, just short version said, it blesses me to see my husband and my child going to pray at the cross. Guys, listen, we need to get the right view of who God is in his sovereignty, in his magnificence, that we look at God as who he is. The Lord Jesus is the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. He is all powerful. He's all knowing, and he sees us right where we are. Listen, you can't hide from him. I can't hide from him. And you and I need to respect him for who he is. He is God, our creator. He has breathed life into our nostrils, and he's given us new life. It's my prayer this morning, if you're in this building listening online, that you've been born twice. You've been born through the flesh, and you've been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and conviction, and you recognize the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And you don't have any hope other than Jesus Christ and under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're walking in obedience to him. Why does Moses start when he says, and now, and you put your name there, what does the Lord God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God? Because that is the foundation. That is the foundation that builds everything else in the midst of these few verses this morning. The second thing being, walk in godly ways. Walk in godly ways. What is that, Brother Dave, this morning? Just one word. Lifestyle. Your lifestyle matters. What you do matters. Who you influence matters. Remember what we just said, a Christianity that says it'll get you to heaven, but allows you to keep just living like you are. It's not biblically based, it's foreign to the New Testament. So our lifestyle matters. I saw this post this week. It's your life, do what you want to. No, it ain't. Excuse that English. It's not your life. Even if you're a heathen, never been born again, it's not your life. Why? Jesus died for everybody. Red, yellow, black, and white. Precious in his sight. Skid Row bum. Jesus died for it. Prostitute. Jesus died for it. Strung out drug addict. Jesus died for it. Murderer. Death row. Jesus died for it. And so when you think about walking in godly ways, you and I are to set examples and let fear be the foundation. And out of that fear, out of that reverence, that reverential fear, that respect of God, then we're able to live and walk in our lifestyle a way that pleases God, to bring glory to God. That ought to be our prayer anyway. God, I pray that I would bring glory to your name today, that I live my life in such a way that I point others to Jesus Christ, that I live my life in full obedience, that God's word's carried out in my life. Brother Dave, do you make mistakes? Yeah, we make them. How do you know you're a child of God when you make a mistake? Conviction. Immediate conviction. You know because the Holy Spirit comes up and he taps. And you know. You know then at that point that you need to get something straight at that point. And you begin to think. And we talk about the goodness of God. We talk about his love. And he is a good guy. He's a good, good father. He's a loving God. But I want to tell you, when you get into the Old Testament and you dig in there, listen, the God is a God of wrath. And you and I don't like to talk about the wrath of God. You don't have to read very far in the Deuteronomy and see the thousands, men, women, boys, and girls, animals wiped out because of lack of obedience and people that were against the people of God. I'm going to make a statement to you, dads and moms this morning, young people, God will never bless our disobedience. Not going to bless it. You know, somebody, you say, well, somebody's living out there and I know they're not doing what God's doing, that God wants them to do, but they're doing, God's blessing their life. Here it is. If you dig deep enough, it's going to be because somebody's praying for them. Mom, grandmother, dad, grandfather, best friend, co-worker. Somebody's praying for them. The hand of God's on them because somebody else is intercessing. That's why it's important for you and I to pray for others. That's why it's important that you and I intercede for those. But God will never bless my disobedience or yours. He can't. If he did that, he would bless 10. I sat in a Bible study on Wednesday night at one of our churches. Very eye-opening, very, very, very transparent. I'm going to use that word. And in the midst of that, folks were talking, and it was a prayer time and people talking, and this one person confessing things in their life just got open and said, I need to get right. And I appreciated one guy, and he said, yeah, we need to be reminded that God would never bless our disobedience. Right on. Because many folks think we can go and live like we want to. We'll come in here and get our dose of medicine and walk out and everything's good. Not according to the word of God. There's a penalty of God that is real. And even for you and I as believers, when we look at the word of God, listen, one day you and I are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account for the life to which we've lived as a believer. That's where the obedience factor comes in for you and I. For the person that's never made Jesus Lord of their life, never accepted him as the Son of God, the one and only who gave his life for him, there was no other way, then they'll be at the great white throne judgment, which is where you don't want to go. Everybody at the great white throne judgment goes to hell. Judgment seat of Christ, everybody's going to heaven. They're just answering for what they're living for. They're answering for their works. It's not a work salvation, but it's a work after salvation. And so what Moses is telling, look, you fear the Lord your God, and then and you walk in godly ways. And we respect God because of the wrath of God. That's why you and I need to be on our knees praying, interceding, making sure that we're in contact with the Lord. Praise God that you and I, yet somebody's probably saying, you know, brother, what about grace? You and I are under grace. But when we think about the principles of God, they never change. Praise God, we're under grace. If we were under the law, he'd wiped us out a long time ago. We're under the grace of God. But here's the thing. Grace does not give you a license to sin or me. You don't have the permission to go do what you want to do. If it's sin, it's sin. Any way you look at it, any way you want to dice it, it's still sin. It's against the God. And it put Jesus on the cross. So grace is not a license to sin. And sometimes we need to be reminded how we're supposed to live in an upside down world. How are we supposed to live right side up? Fear the Lord. Let people out there see you and I as the believers to be who God really wants us to be. Responsible to God for how we live, the things we do, the words we say, the thoughts we have. And be accountable to the Lord for all that we do. Think about who he is and what he wants to do in our life. The third thing Moses said is to fear the Lord, to walk in his ways, that lifestyle. And then he says, to love the Lord thy God, to love him with all your heart, to love him. See how it's building? You see how Moses is building from that foundational platform when he's talking about fear? When we get fear right, everything else will come in. Everything will work accordingly. And the great commandment, when you go to the New Testament, you say, well, how does all that fit in? What did Jesus say? In Matthew 22, he says what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Greatest commandment, right? Second one is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Community outreach. Hands and feet of Jesus. God left you and I to do the work. It's not left to somebody else. It's for you and I to do the work that he's called us to do. And so when we think about loving God, when we get that right, life begins to fall into place. We respect him. Our lifestyle lines up. What does the word of God say in John? All those folks out there and in here will know that we're followers of Christ by what? Say it. Love. They will know who we are by our love for one another and for those out there. It's the way we live. Living right side up in an upside down world. To love the Lord thy God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't have time to go into it this morning. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. All of this stuff, people say, well, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. Word of God said that if you've done all of that, well and good, but if you don't love, it's all for naught. It's all for naught. Why? Because God's love put Jesus on the cross. Jesus went there not because he just loved us, but because he needed a sacrifice for us. That's why he went there. And everything God does for you and I is based on his love for mankind. Praise God, he breathes into our life. But then he demands that response from you and I on how we live, how we worship towards God and toward others. It's amazing when you think about that. And then you apply even what the half-brother of Jesus said in James 2:17 when he says, faith without works is dead. And faith and love are synopsis there. You can put them either there. Faith without works is dead. Love without showing it is dead, according to 1 Corinthians 13. So you got fearing the Lord, respecting him, lifestyle, walking in a godly way, loving the Lord, being all that God has called you to be. You see, in the Old Testament, God really desired the best for Israel and his people. Does today. Stand with Israel. You and I ought to stand. But we ought to know that God desires the best for us as his children. In today's world, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. We need to understand that. And we need to put that in place in the midst of that. And we complicate so many times God's plan. Why? Because of our man-made rules. Because of what we think. And really, when we get into the Word of God and we know what the Word of God says, it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what God says and how we line up to that. So it's important in the midst of that. It's not about us. Life's not about me or you. It's about the will of God in our life. That's why it's important to humble ourselves. Dads and moms, that's why it's important to teach it to your kids, to your young men and young ladies. Grandparents, take the time to teach your children, grandchildren. Take the time to teach them to fear the Lord, to respect him, to live a life worthy of what Jesus has done for our life, and to love the Lord and to love others. And then he builds and he says, the next one is to serve. And he says there, serve the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, wholeheartedly. Can I ask you a question this morning? So many times we say, well, I don't have time. Or I'm tired. Well, that's a great response. I'm tired. So we don't do what God's called us to do. When was the last time that you can say before the Lord, not to me or anybody else, when were you exhausted for the work of God in your life? When was the last time that you were exhausted from doing the work of God in your life? Living within your spiritual gifts, doing what God has called you to do, to be who God has called you to be. See that word love and that word serve that follows there? It's an action word. It's for you and I to do the work of God. Do we need a break at times? Yeah, we need a break. We don't break from God. We just break from the work and rest. Did Jesus do that? He did. He set an example for us. But to do what he's called us to do, and let me just ask you this. Is there a job you told God you wouldn't do? God, I won't do it. Is there a job below us? Is there a people that we wouldn't minister to? Or is there a place we wouldn't go if God so put it before us? I may have said this before, but I'll say it again. So many times your pastor or one of your staff or somebody in leadership or authority will say, hey, I need you to do this. Let me go pray about it. Here, let me put this in biblical perspective for you. Some of you are going to disagree. If your pastor or your staff or your authority figure asks you to do it, they ought to already prayed about it. And God ought to lead them to you to ask you because God calls them to feel like you're equipped to do it. So many times when we say, hey, I want to go pray about it, what are we trying to do? Get out of it. How can I figure a way to get out of it? Just be obedient to the Lord. Listen, we miss the blessings of God so many times because we don't step out and do what God's called us to do. We're afraid. That's when God does his best work. When we're ill-equipped, when we're not maybe fully qualified, but God steps in and causes us to be able to do what he's called us to do. Let God do the exalting. You just be the obedient person. That's how we live, right side up in an upside down world. Serve with unreserved restraint. If you haven't watched the commercial, and I should have asked Robert maybe to play it. I didn't know if we'd have time. But He Gets Us campaign. You seen that? If you saw the Super Bowl, you saw it. If you watched some of the sports, horse races, things like that, it was on there. Go look at just look it up. He Gets Us campaign. It's 1 minute commercial. And all it is people serving others, washing feet, all of that. But people found fault because it didn't just present the message of Jesus in the face. But if you go and look at the folks who organized that and you take a look at it, the whole purpose was to get the world to see that Jesus cares. And then you and I deliver the message when the doors open. And so I challenge you, go look at that. And I'll ask you, is there any person you wouldn't wash their feet? Because here's where we are, especially people my age. We grew up singing the hymns, right? And I can only remember the number. I can't even go to the number, but we would sing the song, the hymn, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." And you knew you wouldn't do it. Or, "I Surrender All." And we didn't do it. We surrender what we wanted to surrender. Or we'll surrender this, but we want to hold on to this. See, God doesn't settle for that. It's all or nothing with God. And you and I need to realize that this morning, dads, moms, grandparents. Some of us are no hair, gray hair, white hair, dyed hair. And we've not done the work that God's called us to. We've not done the work that God really wants us to do. Worship, honoring the Lord. Worship as we go throughout the week and then just bring it together and watch what God wants to do in your life. I'm telling you, it's nothing like serving the Lord. It's nothing like holding a little baby that's diseased with yellow fever and hearing a mama with tears in her eyes, "Pastor, would you pray for my baby?" It's nothing like when somebody comes up and they're full of sores and you hand them a plate of food and it changes their life. It's nothing like seeing a testimony of somebody who's been in the infestations of the gutter of life, and because of an act of kindness, they come out to live a restored life in honor of the Lord. It's nothing like growing up in a Southern Baptist church and realizing at whatever age, 8, 9, 10, 12, 17, later in life, that you're not born again and allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, change your life, and put you on the road to mission. It's nothing like it. And so God calls us to serve. I don't know if you saw this week, but I reposted it. Davey and Natalie Lloyd. I didn't know them. Selena and I are active in Haiti with New Missions. I wanted to go to the country God in such disarray that the United States won't really let people in. But that young couple lost their life this week. Her dad's a state representative in Missouri. His dad and mom started a missions called Missions in Haiti, 2002. I went and read the story because I wanted to see the story before this morning, coming this morning. And Davey and Natalie and one of their leaders in Missions of Haiti had done a youth meeting. Their emphasis was on kids. If you know anything about third world countries, where it's Africa, Haiti, wherever, it's the kids that suffer. It's hard for us when we go there because the kids have to stand off till the adults do their thing and then the kids are welcome. But I read this story, and you can go look it up. It's on national media. They came out of church on Wednesday night doing a youth meeting, guys. The gangs attacked them in the northern area of Port-au-Prince. Took him to the house. Beat him. Not sure what else. Stole all they had, took their trucks, left. Some gangs came back. Obliterated the house with gunfire. Killed them. The writing's there about that's what they'd always wanted to do. They got married. Soon they got married, they headed to Haiti. And it talks about that. You go and read it this afternoon. I learned recently, actually at the World Mission Celebration a year or so ago, and I didn't know this about our International Missions Board, but our missionaries, when they come in and they do their interview, the first question out of the box, are you willing to die? And if they can't answer that question with an affirmative yes, then they can't serve with the International Mission Board. You know, you and I don't think about that. We don't think about from the standpoint of what God does and when he calls us to serve and what we're going to do and all of that kind of stuff. Because we live in our lazy boy recliners and our lazy boy attitudes and all of that. But I'm telling you this morning, God calls us to do so much more in an upside down world. If we're going to live right side up, you and I have got to be willing to respect God, fearing, honoring. Be willing to walk in lifestyle that pleases him. Be willing to love him. Be willing to serve him. And then according to the word of God, the last thing is to obey God supremely. To obey God supremely. That means on our knees. On our knees before God. God, whatever you want me to do. You know the number one reason that we're told by the International Mission Board that folks are not going, that our young people are not going into missions and all of that this year, in recent years, is because the parents are dissuading them. Parents are telling them, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do this. Number one reason, parents. God, I'm telling you this morning, you and I need to get back to the basics. And for some of us, we need to rewind a lot of years to get back to where God really wants us to be in obedience to him. That obeying supremely means whatever it takes. He comes down and he says, you know, observe the Lord's commands. Observe his decrees for your own good. See, our battle so many times, it's not good and bad. It's good and best. So I want to ask you this morning, we're about to have an invitation time, public invitation. Come and pray at the altar if you'd like to. Maybe there's a man that wants to bring his family and pray. Maybe there's a grandfather that wants to bring his family and pray. Maybe there's a husband and wife that needs to come and surrender. I know our students, I think, are on the field. I know Larry told me Austin was. And I assume our other students are. You may want to come and pray for them this morning. Lift them up. When was the last time you said, yes, Lord? God, I'll do it. I'll help with a catfish plate. God, I'll wash some feet this week. I'll help with some snotty-nosed kids. God, I'll do whatever it needs to be done. God, I'll do it. Been sitting on the sideline far too long. God, I'm one of those that sing, wherever he leads, I'll go. But God, so many times I've told you no. God, right now, starting this morning, I want to live right side up. In an upside-down world. So easy to complain. As Robert comes this morning and our praise team, whoever's coming with him. Just a moment, I'm going to lead us in prayer. And our staff will be down front. I'll be down front. But I want you just to take a moment, bow your head where you are. As Robert gets to the piano this morning. Just everybody in the building, online if you're listening. Just ask yourself the question, God, am I there? God, am I where you want me to be? God, am I sold out? Would you be willing to pray this morning, God, not my will, but yours, the same thing the Lord Jesus prayed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. God, I want to line up this morning. I'm a deacon. And God, I just put a box around my life. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a grandmother, grandfather. God, I'm a child of God. And God, I've told you no. So this morning, Lord, I'm saying yes. Somebody this morning, you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Would you come this morning? We'd love to have you and get with you with one of our counselors. We'd love to just see what God wants to do in your life. Maybe you're somebody that says, hey, I give my life to Christ a long time ago, but I haven't done anything with it. So this morning, I want to get on board. If that's you this morning, we'd love to get someone talking with you, praying with you. Other things this morning, again, these altars, you can come and kneel and pray this morning. I want you to be obedient to the Lord. Living life right side up in a very upside down world. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I want to pray, and then Robert's going to lead us in this invitation, our praise team. Staff's in front. You can be moving. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray you'd find us faithful this morning. God, if somebody's online and they can message us, they can do that this morning. Somebody in the building that they take the first step. God, I pray this morning. Might be a call to missions. Might be a call to ministry. I thank you for this church and its emphasis on ministry and missions. God, we need that. God, it starts right here at the altar of obedience. So God, have your way right now. Holy Spirit of God, it's all about you. In Christ's name.